direct your eyes toward the screens, you'll be able to read along with us, unless you have a message Bible or an electronic device that will allow you to access it. And I want to talk about briefly, when it's all said and done, when it's all said and done, Deuteronomy chapter number 10. I want to look at verse number 12. The Message Bible is a paraphrase, and it just makes the scriptures a little bit plainer than many Bibles, and it's a paraphrase. And so you can call you have the King James Version, you have the New International Version, the New Living Translation, and many different other translations. The Message Bible is just another way of saying, in other words, another way of saying the same thing. And so in the Message Bible, again, I want to talk about when it's all said and done. What that means is the same as saying in the end, in the final analysis, at the end of the day, whatever phrase you use that says, you know, we didn't say a whole lot of things, but the point is, at the end of the day, when it's all said and done, the really thing that matters is what I'm about to share with you. So now Israel, and that says Israel because our spiritual forefathers are the Israelite people, the Hebrews, the Jews, God's people. The scripture says we are spiritual Jews. And one interesting thing about these people, the Jews, and you will find that the Jews come from many different parts of the world because they first were in a particular little place. They started, the Jews, the Hebrews, started with one man. His name was Abraham. He had two sons, one of the flesh, his doing, named Ishmael, and the other Isaac. Isaac had two sons, Jacob and Esau. Jacob was the chosen one. God chose him even though he was the younger. And Israel grew to become a great nation. But Israel disobeyed God, and God let another nation come and overtake them. And when various nations would come and overtake the Israelites, they scattered them all over the world. So you'll hear some people talk about, you'll hear some people saying, well, see, black people are the real Hebrews, are the real Jews. And they're partially right. Not totally, but partially. In that the Jewish nation is made up of people from all places of the world, which was God's intention all the time. Believe it or not, we're all brothers and sisters. So I'm saying to you that the Jews is not just one color. Because when the nations would come and overtake them, what would they do? They would cohabitate with them. They would have babies with them and have children. They would take them to Babylon and have children. They would take them to Egypt and have children. So there are Hebrews of many colors. And again, it was God's original plan, because in the beginning there was only one man. We all have the same father. And his name was Adam, and her name, the mother, is Eve. God destroyed the world by water, but he saved 8 people. So our extended father, if you will, then became Noah. But we're really all one people. And interestingly enough, God divided it for a good reason. He divided the nations. If you've been in church any length of time, you've heard people say God is not the author of confusion. That's what they say. The scripture actually says God is not the author of confusion in the church. He doesn't cause confusion in the church. But he does cause confusion in the world, because there was a time when man was speaking all one language. And a ruler by the name of Nimrod, according to history, who was a man of color, led the people in building the Tower of Babel. What does Babel mean? Gibberish R, confusion. The people tried to build a tower. God said, I want you all to go out into all the world, and I want you to spread and multiply and be fruitful and go all out and go all into all the earth and fill the earth. They said, no, we don't want to do that. We're going to stick together, and we're going to build us a tower to heaven in our name. And they were all one tongue and one people, and they talked to each other and said, that's what we're going to do. And God said, no, you're not, because I'm going to confuse your tongue. So you're going to speak Chinese, you're going to speak Swahili, you're going to speak Hebrew, you're going to speak this, and you're going to speak that. He confused their language so that they could not come together in this evil way against him. But don't tell me God don't cause confusion. He's about unity in the church, but he will bring some confusion even in the church. Oh, you didn't hear me. But you have to understand, his purpose is not confusion. His purpose is unity, and to bring us to our senses. Other than the fact that because we are humans, have you ever wondered why do preachers do some of the most evil things you've ever heard of? And they're supposed to be preachers and men and women of God and deacons. Why do they do that? And why sometimes do the choir leaders do stuff and end up? I ain't gonna go into no sins. I ain't here to preach today. I'm gonna preach what we're for, not what we're against. But I am saying, how come sometimes the choir leader calls more hell in the church than anybody else? And how come some of the members been in the church for the longest time all end up acting the biggest fool? Like, how does that happen? And God, how can that happen and God be at the church? Yes. The Bible says the angels have to go and report to God. Then and now. The angels have to report to God. Listen at this. Even the demons have to report to God. Devils and demons and dragons and lions, bears and tigers, tigers, lions and bears, oh me. All of them have to give an account to God. And so in this particular scripture in Job, it said the angels of God, the sons of God, came and presented themselves before God. And this is here's the clause. The antagonist came. And, help me, Satan what? Came also. Listen, the angels of God presented themselves and came before God. And it said, and Satan came also. Now, he couldn't get in heaven unless God allowed him. Same thing is true. He ain't going to hell. You know, some people say, Satan, I send you back to where you came from. Into the lake of fire. Go to hell, Satan. I send you to dry places and I send you. You can't send him nowhere. The only thing you can do is resist him. You can fight, sit around all day fighting with the devil if you want to. Or you can go and do the easy thing. Bow before God, submit yourself to God, and then the Bible says, God, draw nigh unto God, he'll draw nigh unto you. And then when the enemy comes, you, with the power of God, resist him, and the devil got to run from you. But you can't send him to hell because he's already going to go to hell and the lake of fire at a particular time when God has said it. Right now, he gets to go around the earth and roam in the earth and the universe and cause trouble everywhere he goes. But at the appointed time, God is going to send him to hell. You can't say, Satan, go back from whence you came, because where did he come from? Heaven. But here's my point. This is the reason sometimes God will let trouble come into church. Because we got some people who, good morning, hallelujah, they think they're holy. We know, if you really know people, see, the world says at the very core of people, everybody is good. The world says, oh, that's some good. In everybody, that's a relative term. As it relates to you and I, there's some good in everybody, because sometimes you act better than a preacher does. But now, in God's sight, there is no spiritual good in us until he comes into our lives and he begins to do good things through us. But until then, we've got some people who talk about other people because, I'm sorry. What I'm about to say is a little controversial. Because you have not been a prostitute on the street, you think you better, even though you've been a church whore. Did he say that? Did he say that? In the sight of God, no one is any better than the other. I know you got some low-class prostitutes and some high-class whores, but oh my, in the sight of God, ain't none of us any better. But what happens is we come to church and we forget from whence we came. And so we start acting snooty and acting like we're holy. And God says, I want to reveal who's really spiritual and who's mature. So what would he do? He'll let one of us mess up. And those of you who talk about me, he says, see that? You thought you all of that. No, you ain't. And he actually says, if a brother, I'm a brother, just got a different title, but I'm a brother. It says, if a brother be overtaken, what does overtaken mean? Huh? What is overtaken? If a brother is overtaken in a sin, if he's overtaken, what does that mean? Sin is in control. Preachers say he ain't gonna do it, but he do it again. Deacon say, I ain't going to do it no more, but he does it again. Choir member says, I promise to God, I ain't going to do it. Get me out of this one, Jesus, and I'll never do it again. As soon as she quit him, she go find another one. And the Bible says, if a brother is overtaken in a fault, you who are spiritual, restore him. Don't throw him away. Don't talk about him. Restore him in a spirit of meekness, a humility, unless you be tempted also. So God says, not only will I reveal that you ain't all of that, I'll let you fall into the same sin so you'll hush your mouth and quit talking about folk. He said, be careful now, you who are spiritual. If a brother is overtaken in a fault, you who are spiritual, restore him in a spirit of humility and meekness. And you don't be holding on to your mess. You tell him, look, I can't judge you, brother. I've been there. As a matter of fact, let me testify how bad I was and tell you how God has brought me out. It wasn't me, but he brought me out. I didn't come out. I didn't make up my mind. I didn't get tired. No, I was still liking it when he brought me out. He brought me out, dragging me out, because I'm like, I said that to say that God will cause confusion sometimes and reveal confusion in the church so that he can show who's really mature, who's really grown up Christians. So, in the final analysis, so now Israel, it says Israel, but who is it talking to? In the secondary, who is it talking to? Us. So now, put your name there. What do you think God expects from you? Just this. Live in his presence in holy reverence. That would mean respect. Respect. Live in his presence in holy reverence. Follow the road he sets out for you. Love him. Serve him, serve God, your God, with everything you have in you. Obey the commandments and regulations of God that I'm giving you today. Live, come on, saints, a good life. Matthew 22, 37. Matthew. That was in the Old Testament. And it is restated in the New Testament. Amen? That means it's not just for the Old Testament people, it's for us. And here it is. A man asked Jesus, what must I do to receive eternal life? In essence, to be saved. And he asked Jesus, what is the greatest commandment? Because there are a whole lot of commandments in the scripture. Which is the greatest, the man asked. And Jesus said, you all read it, please. Go back one more time. Says Christian 37. Again, Jesus said, love with all your what's your passion? Heart and prayer and in, what's all of that? Your mind, your soul. Uh-huh. And this is the, then, but there is a second. It is? These are called the two greatest commandments. Then look at the verse right after that. These two commands at the end of the day are the what? This is where the rubber meets the road. These two commands are pegs. Everything in God's law and prophets, what? Hangs on them. Amen? So in the final analysis, that's what God wants from us. Sister Christian, Matthew 24. Matthew 24, yes. We'll begin at verse 1. Jesus then left the temple. As he walked away, his disciples pointed out how very impressive the temple architecture was. Jesus says, "You're not impressed by all this sheer size, are you? How big the building is?" You know, that's we people like that too. We think the bigger the house, the better. Bigger the church, better. Not necessarily. "You're not impressed by all this sheer size, are you? The truth of the matter is that there's not a stone in that building that is not going to end up in a pile of rubble." What does that mean? He's saying to the Israelites in their temple, he says, they were being impressed by the temple, and Jesus says, another nation is going to come and overthrow Israel and going to knock down every stone. They're not going to leave one stone on top of the other. They're going to totally decimate it and raise it to the ground. And an interesting thing about this, sometimes when the word gives a prophecy, it's not just going to happen one time. There is a now and later effect to prophecy. Because this has already happened to Israel several times. There have been three temples. Well, first that was the tabernacle, then that was Solomon's temple, then that was Herod's temple, and then Zerubbabel, they rebuilt the temple. But the time is going to come where the Israelites in Israel is going to build another temple. And this is going to happen again. And it may very well happen in our day. Let's keep reading. Jesus says, somebody's going to come and they're going to knock all this stuff down. Later, as he was sitting on Mount Olives, his disciples approached and asked him, "Tell us, when are these things going to happen? What will be the sign of your coming? That the times are up," if you will. Jesus says, "Watch out for doomsday deceivers." Those are preachers and teachers in the last day preaching unscriptural and false doctrines. Many leaders are going to show up with what? Claiming that they are the Christ, the Messiah. They will deceive a lot of people. When reports come in of wars in Syria and Yemen and all the different places, when reports come in of wars and rumors of wars, keep your head and don't what? This is routine history. It's been happening all the time. This is no sign of the what? Nation will fight. Nation and ruler fight ruler over and over. Famines and earthquakes will occur in various places. This is nothing compared to. Jesus actually says the worst is yet to come. In this world, they are going to throw you to the wolves and kill you and everyone hating you because you carry my name. And going from bad to worse, it will be a dog eat dog. Now, do you see why I say this? This thing makes it plain. It will be dog eat dog, everyone at each other's throat, everyone hating each other. In the confusion, lying preachers Good Lord. That's why every preacher, you have to check yourself, check your motives, make sure you're telling the truth. You're speaking the word of God. No other book has the same authority. The Bible stands alone. The word of God. Every other word, every other stuff, all faiths, all philosophies will pass away, but the scripture says the word of God will last forever. In the confusion, lying preachers will come forward and deceive what? A lot of people. Saints, I wonder if you're going to be deceived. Don't get into trying to follow all the trends and keep up with everybody. Keep up with Jesus. Don't try to keep up with people. And don't follow any preacher who cannot prove to you by several scriptures, not just one, because anybody can pick one and make a doctrine out of it, but you don't follow any preacher who cannot prove to you by several scriptures what he says. For many others, the overwhelming spread of evil will do them in. The scripture says the love of many is going to wax cold. Nothing left of their love. Because people will be treating each other so bad, we're going to get to the place, some people are going to get to the place where they have no more love for God and no love for people. Their love is going to grow cold, and they're going to be bitter, and they're going to be hateful. And that's what happens when a man can take a gun and go in and shoot up and kill a bunch of people that he don't even know. You don't even know these people. And some of them old people who have lived godly lives and been doing the best they can. Who goes into a school and shoot little babies? What happened to that man? For many others, the overwhelming spread of evil will do them in. Nothing left of their love but a mound of ashes. That means they have no more love for anybody. And they want to destroy themselves and everybody with them. Some of us have said it in our anger. Yeah, they do something to me. I'm going to take out as many as I can. I'm going to take many with me. Has anybody ever said that? I got one witness. Anybody else? I got two witnesses. Can I say three? Can I say four? Do you, women too? Tracy, how dare you? Kathy, did you raise your hand and say you said I'm going to take as many? The woman from Louisiana, child, the Louisiana woman done said, she said I'll take them out. What's happening to us? Our love is growing cold. I can't remember the name of it, but a lady wrote a song called I Hope You Dance. And one of the verses in there, she said, don't let some hell-bent heart leave you bitter. Don't let some man whose heart is hell-bent or some woman whose heart is hell-bent leave you bitter. When you won't forgive, it'll leave you bitter. And if you don't fix that and forgive, what'll happen is that stuff will grow in you like poison, like cancer. And before you know it, you're so cynical and you're so mean and so sarcastic about everything. And everything comes out of your mouth is bitterness and hatred and meanness. And you just hate everybody. And Lord, don't let you get old because you're old and just prune and pickle. And you're jealous because you see young people looking good and you ain't that no more. And so you just hate on them. Look at them old young gals. You remember? You just mad because you can't catch them no more, old man. Staying with it. Read that verse. Staying with it, that's what God requires. Stay with it to the end. You won't be sorry, and you'll be. I like that. Read that again. That would preach all by itself. Come on, go. Stand with it. That was what God requires. Stay with it to the end. You won't be sorry, and you'll be saved. You know what? The scripture in the King James Version says it like this. He that endureth to the end, the same shall be saved. What I'm saying to you, when we accept Jesus Christ in us, he does a work in our hearts, and he comes to live in us. And we don't care what the devil throw at us. We say, you can take my house, you can take my car, you can take my husband, my wife, my children, but you can't have Jesus. I ain't going nowhere. I started with Jesus, and I'm going all the way. Even if it costs me my life. Will you feel like giving up? But yes, but you don't know how to give up. If you want to turn around, where you going to go? What you going to do? We ain't got nothing else but Jesus. You got the best one, baby. Don't you turn around. I don't care what happens. If Jesus lives on the inside of you, you've got what it takes to go through anything. Listen, even your own personal sins, and we all have them. The scripture says, beware and watch out for those sins that doth so. He said, lay aside every weight and everything that sin that so easily makes you fall. You got at least one of them. Some of us got two or three of them. You know, for somebody, they don't just smoke and get high, they get drunk too. Hello. Some of it ain't just women. They love money, and they'll do anything to get it. Listen to this. Do you know it's not a sin to ask God to make you rich? It's not a sin. Do you know where the sin part comes in? The Bible says, he that will to be rich is going to fall into many snares and harmful lusts and going to lead himself to destruction if he wills to be rich, not if he wants to be rich. You can desire to be rich and ask God for it, but you're not to determine, I'm going to be rich. Because when you determine, that means will. When you determine I'm going to be rich, that means I don't care who I have to step over, who I have to hurt, I'm going to be rich. I'm going to get this money. That's the sin, because it is the love of money that'll make people do all kind of evil stuff. It's at the root of all kinds of sins. I've asked God to make me rich. Yes, I have. I've asked him for a whole lot of money. And I want it. Not millions. I don't want to be a millionaire. I don't want to be a billionaire. I'm fool enough to ask him for trillions. Now watch this. I desire it. I want it. But I'm not going to do anything to try to make it happen. That doesn't mean I won't work. That doesn't mean I won't invent something. That doesn't mean I won't start a business. What it means is I'm not going to go out of my way and do just anything to get what I want. And I don't know about you, I've asked God for so much that I don't have a plan how to get it. So I might as well just wait on him, and if he gives it to me, praise God. But I don't have a plan, and he ain't gave it to me, because all of the wisdom and the knowledge comes from him. But it's all right for you to ask, but don't go after it. And be willing to do anything to get it. Don't determine that that's your goal. Are you hearing me?
I'm going to try to bring this to a close. That verse there says, staying with it. That's what God requires. Stay with it to the end. You won't be sorry and you'll be saved. You've heard me say this before. Perseverance, sticking to it, is the one thing that every Christian has in their heart. They have endurance. And we can go through anything. We can take stuff that we thought we would never take. We can go. And you say, well, I ain't got the grace for that. You don't have the grace for it because it ain't your time. If it's time for it, God will give you the grace to go through it. You say, if somebody put a gun to my head and say, I'm going to shoot you if you say you believe in Jesus, right now you feel like, oh, man, I don't know if I can do that. But when it's your time, God will give you grace and you'll be able to stand, yes, I believe in Jesus. I sure do. You going to kill me? Go ahead, because soon as you shoot me, I'm going to leave this world and immediately I'm going to be in the presence of God. I'm not afraid of your God. Oh, it can get worse. They'll say it even to your children. I'll kill your child. Some of us say, oh, God, I couldn't take it. You can't take it because you don't have the grace for it. But if God chose to put you in that situation, he'll give you and your little children the strength. And your baby will say, mama, come on. Come say Jesus, mama. I'm saying it. If you don't know what to say, mama, your baby will say, say Jesus, mama. Say Jesus, daddy. And we're going to go to be with God. He'll give you the grace to endure it. 1 John. I think it's 1:18, Sister Christian. And guys, I'm going to try to leave it at this. I had so much more, but I'm. First John. First John 2:19. Now remember what we just read. We just read a scripture that says, stay with it. Stay with it to the end. Say, you won't be sorry, but you'll be what? Everybody look at this last one. This is about people who, they came to church. They came and heard about Jesus, but they didn't get Jesus in them. Listen to what it says. They left us. Not talking about our church. It's talking about they left Jesus. They left church, period. They left us, but they were never what? Some people say, can you be saved and then be lost? Uh-uh. Because if you were lost, it means you were never saved. Watch. It said they left us. But they were never really with us. If they had been, what would have happened? They would have stuck it out with us. Even though it got hard. They would have been loyal, what? Keep reading. In leaving, showed they never did. Is that plain? It didn't say you won't fall. It didn't say you won't make mistakes. It didn't say you won't hurt yourself and won't hurt anybody else. But it says, if you really are of Christ, I don't care what anybody do to you, you'll never leave Christ. You might leave this church and you're going to go find another one. And if you can't find another one, you'll start one. But you're going to have some church. Because Jesus is in you. And praise is what we do. Can we read that verse one more time, Sister Christian? Is this plain, saints? What's wrong with people who said they believe in Jesus and then all of a sudden they're talking, I don't believe that stuff no more? People say, were they really saved? No. Why did they leave us? Read. They left us. But they were. If they had been with us, they would have stuck it out with us. They would have been what? Loyal. Yes. In they. All right. Here it is. I just got to give you the closing. Remember, my message is, when it's all said and done. And I got two scriptures, and we're done. I'm not going to talk about them. I'm just going to read them. I promise. I promise. Well, if the Lord say the same. Micah, M-I-C-A-H, 6 and 8. At the end of the day, when it's all said and done, here it is. But he's already made it plain how to live, what to do. People tell me, what do I need to do? What is the will of God? What does God want from me? But he's already made it plain. Oh, how to live. What to do. What God is looking for in men and women. It's quite what? Read it. Do. And. To your neighbor. Be. And. And don't. Take. Read it again. Just one more time. Let them read it again. They ask it for it. I hear it. I feel it in their spirit. They're pulling it on me. Hallelujah. I feel you're pulling it on me. Read it again. But he's already. That should be a capital H there. But God has already made it what? How to what? And what to? And you can put in there what not to do. He's already made it plain. What God is. And it's. Do. And just to your neighbor, be and loyal. Go. And when the devil stop messing with you, you ain't this, you ain't that, you ain't achieved this, you ain't achieved that. Quit taking yourself so serious. Go get some ice cream. Go to the skating rink. Quit taking yourself. That's why we get all depressed. We start taking ourselves too serious. Oh, I ain't got no man. Honey, if you ain't got no man right now, God is just saving you some trouble. Man that is born of a woman is of a few days, and his life is full of. Honey, I can't live without a man. You can't live with him. You ain't got no wife? You all right? You're doing good. God's saving you some trouble. Because you got to wake up with a woman who is going to always, for the rest of her life, think she's your mama. That was a day, my brother. Brother, that was a day that the women used to cook and clean. Say, when? That's what I'm saying. That was a day. They wasn't satisfied with that. I want my job. I got to find myself. I want my career. So they done found their career. And they're too tired to cook and clean. Got married, but always got a reason why they can't make love. Why did you get married if you don't want to have love? Oh, I'm talking to somebody here. I talked to the brother. I see we relate to each other. Brother, there was a time they used to cook and clean and all of that. Well, my schedule as a pastor, my schedule is very flexible. My job is to spend all of my time preaching and teaching the word of God and praying. So my schedule is much more flexible than my wife. That's my wife back there. Cute girl. Look. Yeah. The cuter they are, the crazier. Watch this. Watch this. Watch this. Watch this. So I'm being a fair man, a righteous man. My schedule is much flexible, so I say to my wife, honey, you don't have to worry about washing the dishes. I'll take care of that. Because she's a vice principal. Hit again. She's a vice principal, and you know they go early and come home late. So I say, baby, you know, don't worry about it. I'll take care of the dishes. And one day, I didn't feel like doing the dishes that day. Would you believe? She came home, looked at the dirty dishes, and told me, why is these dishes not clean? What's wrong with you? I mean, done flip. That's what she done flip the script. Now I'm the maid. And she expect the cook to clean the dishes to be clean at a certain time. That's how they do you. All right. Now I said that what got me is the Bible says be loyal in your love and don't take yourself too serious. So whatever your state is right now, God says be content. Cause it ain't everybody. But most married folk you know want to be single. They trying to quit. And most single folks trying to be married. And it's not so much your mate. It's we're never content. Are y'all with me? We take life and ourselves too seriously. Amen? And don't take yourself too seriously. Take one more scripture. And I'm finished. If the Lord said the same. What? I keep forgetting this is not my thing. Ecclesiastes, the teacher, 12, 13, and 14. Ecclesiastes 12, 13, and 14. And whoever's getting ready to come and share our invitation and our offering, go ahead and get ready. Ecclesiastes 12 and 13 and 14. 12, 13, and 14. Are you ready? I'm closing my iPad and my Bible. But regarding anything beyond this, dear friends, that means at the end of the day. But regarding anything else beyond this, dear friends, go what? There's no end to the publishing of books. And constant study wears you. The last and final word is this. Here it is. Are you ready? Read it. What does fear mean? Respect, reverence God, honor God. One more time. The last. Do what? And? Why? Stop. Go back to 13. It reads like this. Let it flow. The last and final word is this. Fear God. Do what he tells you. And that's it. Because eventually God will bring everything that you do out into the and he's going to judge it according to its hidden intent. He know why you did it and whether it is. That's it. Who's coming? to do our mission and then our offering.